Masango on 92.7 and 106 FM.
Streaming on 702.co.za, the 702 app, and DStv channel 856.
Tsikilelo Moya is my guest, social commentator and media practitioner. Brafix, thanks so much for joining me. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Audrey. I hope you're well. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time, Brafix, and so glad to hear that you're still around and you're still making waves. This is the passage that got my eye. You said in your piece, the South African public, I should say, I quote, the South African public needs to be vigilant against the weaponizing of anybody's name being mentioned in Judge Raymond Zondo's report by kangaroo courts that destroy reputations and careers. The law must take its course and guilt not assumed. Wow. That got me thinking, Brafix. And here in South Africa, we're very well known for simply going with the flow, as it were, with headlines. What made you decide to write this piece, and what do you aim to achieve with it?
Yeah, thanks. The gist of the argument really is that we must not make the court of public opinion the court of law. You know, that it is important to make a differentiation between the fact that one is not even an accused yet, but one has been mentioned as someone who might need to answer further questions relating to their participation in what has turned out to be an act of state capture, for example. But, you know, that is, there's a long way between that and someone being deemed a criminal. And if we latch on the very fact of a person being accused or being mentioned in the Zondo Commission and decide based on that the person should be hung out to dry, then we would have reduced the Zondo Commission, which I believe is a very important institution for the restoration of law and order and the culture of accountability. We would have simply made it into what it was not intended to be.
Yeah.
You know, it would be, as it were, a capture. The Zondo Commission would itself have been captured by those who use it to further their own nest.
Where have you seen evidence or suggestions of that kind of lynching process in the court of public opinion? I've seen it, but I'd be interested to hear from somebody who's really considered this. Where have you seen it? And if possible, connected to the Xele case, because in your opinion piece, you speak very, very instructively about what happened to Peggy Xele when he was still commissioner of police. And that for me was an awakening moment to say, hey, relax. We know that we might be angry about what happened during the state capture period, but we need to have the presence of mind to let the process unfold. Give me a sense of where have you seen evidence of some of this public lynching?
Yeah, I think the Xele example is helpful here, because when Xele himself was appointed, there was a view, strong view in many circles, that he shouldn't be employed in this process because of what the then Molay Commission had decided, that Xele had a cloud hanging over his head. Right. So when he was appointed as Minister of Police, he got the job when there were many people who, based on the fact that he was fired as National Police Commissioner, believed that his appointment was irregular or downright a form of care deployment gone wrong. Now, my argument would have been that the Molloy Commission that had recommended Gale be fired should have gone the entire way. You know, they should have charged Gale, brought him to before a court, and have heard him answer allegations of impropriety, and for it to be very clear, what is it that this Gale is accused of doing, right? And so that we know that the person who becomes the Minister of Police, Peggy Gale, has been found guilty of a specific offence, and therefore the view that he should not be Minister of Police is grounded on not on our subjective feelings about him, but or based on what a court of law has pronounced. Unfortunately, that never happened. Instead, what we had a situation where Gale continued to contest the basis of the Molloy Commission, and eventually he took the matter to court, and well, it was uncontested, so he became, shall we say, vindicated.
Yeah,
you know. So now, we will never know, because we never got an opportunity for the process to go the entire hog. You know, we will never know whether there was any real basis for Gale being kicked out, or whether the Molloy Commission was merely a ruse to get rid of a political opponent who had outlived his usefulness.
The governing party, in many ways, is grappling with the principle that you are sort of highlighting at the moment with their whole step aside rule, right? There are people who have been charged, and there are people who are suspected of certain things. And really, the debate at the moment that has deepened the fissures of factionalism in the ANC has been whether or not those that are suspected and have been charged for certain crimes, yeah, should step aside. What are your thoughts about that?
Again, you know, that's where I find this thing instructive. You know, whether you're charged, being charged and being accused in a public of, in the court of public opinion are two different things. You know, I may go out of my way. Let's say I fancy having a radio spot on you know, a nighttime radio,
and I
go out there and say all sorts of things about you,
yeah,
you know, and tell people what you do during the day, right?
Yeah.
With the hope that they will fire you, and then I will then get your job.
Yeah.
Okay. But so it cannot be enough that I merely said certain terrible things about you, you know, to the station manager.
Yeah.
You know, there's a difference when the MPA has a charge sheet, you know, and labels certain acts that are unlawful and illegal against you that you need to come to a court and answer to, you know. So we... The Zondo Commission can easily be abused in intra-party political fighting, you know, by people who, just because they don't like a certain person, they simply say, well, Zondo said unfavorable things about you, then you must step down. But I think that regardless of who that person is, which faction they belong to, They must wait for the NPA, and if possible, they must help bring charges, bring evidence that can nail their political opponent, but not just decide flimsily that you got mentioned and therefore that's it.
I wanna go back to the Zondo Commission, but I'm still sort of testing out the foundations of the principle that you are expressing, Brafix. So I must agree with you that we here in South Africa, and I don't know whether it's a South African, uniquely South African issue, or it's something that you could perhaps point to all over the world. But I imagine the same principle would be true for the weaponization of the accusations of rape, for example.
Absolutely.
You've seen how in recent times certain celebrities have been accused of rape or sexual misconduct. And within the context of I believe her, and I understand why the I believe her sort of mantra has gained traction, because I suppose the call is to be humane and to be supportive to those who have been violated and shamed in that way, that we should give them a sense of protection because of the nature of the violation and how difficult it is to open up and talk about it. But talk to me about that. What do you make of what some have started to call the weaponization of rape allegations, and how should that be handled?
Yeah, I think it is in the nature of human beings to find whatever they can and latch on whatever they can to advance their own cause. And oftentimes what has been created for and intended for good can become abused by those who have different feelings. We know, for example, how the internet, social media, is intended to make our lives easier. We can fraternize, we can meet, but criminals have found a way of exploiting people. Ensuring that they lure young children, women, people into compromising situations. So similarly, I think that the Me Too movement has a very important point to make, which is that the vast majority of women who lay charges of sexual assault are telling the truth. It is statistically, by far that they will not go out of their way to lie about it. Yet here we have a situation where some, unfortunately, will abuse the fact of the very fact that the vast majority of women who lay these accusations are telling the truth, and will use that to further their own nest, and that is the kind of abuse that it is, I guess, unavoidable in human society, that there will always be people who want to use and abuse the system for their own good.
Yeah.
So yes, the weaponization of sexual violence for it has made the fight against sexual violence itself a victim. I don't know, maybe I should apologize up front for using this, but they have raped the fight against sexual violence those people who use who weaponize sexual violence to malign their own opponents and advance their own projects.
Unequivocal as always, Fikile Ntsikelelo Moya. Let's go back to the Zondo Commission and the first volume of a three-part volume. Names have been named. The Zondo Commission played out publicly. We saw it almost on a daily basis, questions being asked. People have found themselves angered by the fact that state organs have been hollowed out, monies have been stolen. And in the general grapevine, certain fingers have pointed at certain people, some of whom who've been fingered. I'm thinking now specifically of Dudumieni, for example, where the Zondo Commission has been quite unequivocal to say that this particular person, and I think people like Mzwane Lemanyi, for example, but many others have been named as candidates for investigation for the possibility of criminal charges. Right? So the Zondo Commission's report has now been made very, very public. There have been suspicions. People have looked at the unfolding of the stories that have been on the media space. What do you make of opinions, right, that then finger somebody and say, yes, this person, because it's an opinion. Until such time as a court of law has determined as such, it remains an opinion. Might be a very well-researched opinion. It might be a very well-articulated opinion. It might be a well-screamed opinion, but it remains an opinion. What do you make of those opinions in the context of the need for a more sober discourse? What do you make of those opinions?
You know, the opinions are justified. You know, we are all entitled to think that the Guptas, whatever you make of the Guptas, you know, I am one of those people who can't wait, who have a very dim view of the Guptas, right? But I have to warn myself that if I were to say anything about the Guptas on this platform, that until they have been charged, you know, they are nearly alleged to have done all sorts of things. You know, we want to see them in court. You know, as you know, my background is in print media, and I remember the times when in the old days when a person appeared in court, he would be called, say, Mr. Masango.
Mm.
And until the day that he is convicted, and then a Mr. would be removed from his name, you're no longer Mr. Masango, you're just Masango.
Mm.
You know, once you have been convicted. But the practice then was to make the differentiation that you lose certain rights and the form of dignity at the moment of your conviction. Until you are convicted, you know, you will enjoy a semblance of public respect. Whatever we feel about Dudumieni, whatever we feel about Mzwane Lemanyi, whatever we feel about the Guptas and many other people, you know, the kind of conversations we have around a prayer fire with our friends cannot be the same as the among those who make policy decisions based on who or what Dudumieni is, you know. when pet, you know, of course there will be, we need to be reasonable here. You know, there will be certain charges that where the allegations, even in the in heard by Zondo, are such that, you know, the one must be circumspect before making, say, to do me a CEO of their company or any such like appointment.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, we need to be careful. We need to be reasonable. You know, we need to be clear that we do not have a situation where people's lives and livelihoods are destroyed by merely being associated with a Dudumiane when that association has not been tested to the fullest.
Give us a call, 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567. We're talking matters of principle here with Figile Ntsikelelo Moya. And he's suggesting that we need to keep our wits and our heads about us, especially in the very emotive issues of sexual violence, of state capture. All of these are very, very emotive situations. And what he's suggesting is that while we are entitled to our opinions, we need to keep in mind that that's what they are until such time as a court of law has determined such. Am I on the button there when I say until such time as a court of law has determined such?
I'm
almost sure somebody's going to say, Brafix, but what if the courts of law are wrong and they have been before?
Yes, you know, the courts of law have been wrong before, but until we have a different form of arbitration process that has the credibility and respect of society, we are stuck with court of law. You know, it is like what someone, I can't remember who right now, once said about democracy, that it may be a flawed form of government, but it is the best we have discovered
at the moment. Yeah,
you know, future generations might find something different that works for them, that works better than the kind of where we vote every 5 years or so and choose a government. But until then, you know, and the same for me applies to the court.
Yeah.
You know, what else, where else do we go? You know, we can't go keep fighting or whatever, wrestling, you know, just to determine who between us is right and wrong. We have the court. And we have the processes, we have the review processes in court, you know, appeal processes up to the highest court in the land to arrive at a conclusion one way or the other.
The issue of individuals that have been fingered by the commission itself, based on the evidence that they've got, based on the you know, the processes they've gone through that points to them, to points to certain people. How seriously should that be taken? I mean, I hear the court of law argument that says, look, the court of law has certain instruments at its disposal to arrive at a determination, and at this stage that's the best we have, and that is the median point. That's how we then decide whether we can say whatever we want to say about that particular issue. But what of the Zondo Commission itself? If the Zondo Commission itself says, hey, so and so and that person has not made themselves available to give more evidence, and because we are an inquisitorial commission, we can't force them beyond the powers that we have. What do you make of commentary that then raises those kinds of issues and to the point of almost saying, yeah, this person is guilty? I'm thinking here of President Jacob Zuma, former President Jacob Zuma.
I think the NPA has a role here. The NPA can either aid and abet the project of accountability or aid and abet the project of court of public opinion arriving at its own conclusion. So the Zondo Commission has gone as far as it can. You know, we must look to the NPA to say, if so and so on Khalifot, then your role as NPA is to check whether that the photo that this person thinks of is of their own doing, or, you know, is it a case of being, you know, if you walk into a room with smoking people and then your clothes smell of smoke, you know, were you smoking yourself, or did you, you know? So that is what I'm suggesting ought to happen. You know, otherwise we are going to find people guilty of smelling of smoke, or to use the closer phrase of being smeared with the fat of the meat they did not eat. You know.
By the way, if you are perhaps a little confused at some of the idiomatic expressions that Ntsikelelo and I are using, Hong Khalefota is a Sesotho idiomatic expression that basically says that you smell of stolen meat fat. You have partaken illicitly of stolen meat, and basically meaning something is fishy, basically. Yeah. Sorry, Brafix, you were just saying?
Yes. We need to get to that point. This is far too serious to be left to our own opinions as commentators and political activists or media people. You know, it goes to the very heart of the kind of nation that I think that the Zondo Commission was trying to pull us back to towards you know, a culture of accountability, a culture where those who think that they have institutional power behave as if that power is, you know, it is limitless. You know, they can do as they please about institutional and state power.
Yeah.
So that needs to be seen, to be paid attention to, and I really think that the NPA needs to play its role here.
What of the argument, Brafix, that says, well, South Africa is a robust, open society, it's a democracy. If people don't want their names dragged in the mud through social commentary and so forth, and by the way, Ntsikelelo sounds as though he's wanting to muzzle the robust, discourse in South Africa, but I'm sure you'll comment about that. But what of those who'll say, we're a loud, robust, country that does that. Those that don't want to see themselves in the crosshairs of that kind of discourse should be nowhere near it, because they then make themselves candidates for that kind of conversation. How would you respond to that, Prafix?
Yeah, you know, I think we should have a robust debate. In fact, I even go as far as to say that in our around the fire with our friends or with our families, we can name these people. We can give them the worst names. We can call them whatever we want to call them. And we can have debates. You know, others can defend those people we believe are miscreants in this, you know, villains in this piece. We can have that. This is not an option that is available to those who make public policy. It is not available. This is not something that is available to those who have the power to, you know, as per the example that I made earlier on, you know, that if the station manager has to fire you from your spot, it cannot be based on purely that some people we're having a robust conversation about what you think you did. You know, it should go a bit further than that. You know, otherwise we you know, policymakers don't have the option of basing their views on public opinion only.
I suppose Brafix, that's why political parties are starting to create their own media spaces now. I'm seeing that various political parties have their own channels. They've got their own embedded journalists now that push their sort of narrative. Good thing, bad thing?
So
I was saying that I'm alive to the fact that policymakers don't have the ability to rebut and to create defensive narratives around themselves, and they depend very much on the various platforms that exist. But I'm seeing a very interesting development that political parties, I've seen it with the DA, I see that the EFF is beginning to work on some sort of a platform, a media platform of their own. And I see that there are certain media or journalists that are starting to openly take up specific narratives in the general discourse in the country. The narratives that are clearly partisan. I mean, they don't even hide it. Good thing or bad thing?
I think it's a bad thing. Any time a media practitioner or organization takes places anyone else other than its audience as priority, I think it's a bad thing. You know, I think to whether you are left or right wing, if you are not in the service of your audience, you know, that you are on your way to practicing bad media, you know. And you may as well join the political party itself and become part of their communication machinery, you know, because we know too well that life and especially politics in our country are not what they always look like, you know. So if you're going to even within that political party, let's say one aligns themselves with the ANC, you know, so even within the ANC, are you aligning yourself with which faction or which of the many factions of the ANC are you aligning yourself with? You know, which factions of the DA or even of Action SA? We have seen members of Action SA in KZN and in Soweto complain that the party is not as democratic as it should be. So clearly, you know, I think it's really the best thing is to say, this is my audience. 702 listeners, this is what they're interested in, and I will do my best to give them the best understanding of all the party dynamics that happened.
But hasn't a Fox News or a CNN done exactly that? I mean, the understanding is that Fox News goes for perhaps the center-right and the CNN sort of audience is center-left, maybe even further left. And people have said that, you know, I'd rather know what your agenda is politically than you posture a neutrality that doesn't really exist?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I come from the school of thought where, you know, of fairness and balance and not neutrality. Mm. You know, that we need to be fair. We need to be balanced. We have to mention the kind of things that, you know, that may be unpalatable to our own political tastes ourselves, but we cannot unknow or unsee what is available before us because it may, you know, it tempers with our with our own politics.
Yeah.
So I get the CNN Fox paradigm. I don't agree with it, but yeah, you know, they are both very successful businesses, and therefore, I suppose I'm not one to you know, comment on their business model. But journalistically, you know, I think good media is one that surprises its audience by, you know, praising the same person and dissing them the next day based on what the facts are.
Sure.
You know, if say the Guptas were to save a drowning child in Dubai, you know. You just because I'm one of those people who think that they have a lot to answer for, you know, I cannot simply decide that you can't mention that one of the Gupta brothers received a drowning child because
censorship by agenda. No, no, I hear you, Brafix. I want to take some calls. Mariah in Rivonia, hi. Ooh, what's happened to Mariah? Why have I lost Mariah? Please, let's get a hold of Mariah. She's been holding for some time. Dumsani is in Kensington. Hi, Dumsani.
Hi, Aubrey and Tumsikele. Hello there. I hope you guys are well.
Yeah, Bradumi. How are you, man?
I'm extremely very well.
I recognize that voice. Yeah.
It's a very sexy voice, I must say. I was told as such.
What are your thoughts, Bradumi?
Look, I have 3 points to mention about state capture commission. I think it has created a 3 gap. I think the first one, it was the case of the ANC outsourcing its own disciplinary processes to the commission. So if you check all of the people that are involved in the state capture, and all this malfeasance, these are actually ANC people. And if the ANC was a strong organization in within its own right, it would have dealt with such problems within itself. So what happened is that we as a society ended up paying as taxpayers for the ANC's inability for its own internal governance.
Right.
So that's point number one I wanted to say. The second point is that one of the biggest shortfalls of the commission is that it created an impression that the state capture is an alpha and omega date. Like you can put a date when the state capture started and when it ended, and that it is aligned to the period when Jacob Zuma was the president. Mm. But in an open society, in a capitalist society, the agenda to capture the state is always ongoing. Mm. So as the State Capture Commission was sitting, attempts were happening of capturing the state. So in an open capitalist society like this one, state capture has no alpha and omega. It's an ongoing process at all times. And finally, I think once you set up a commission to deal with issues of state capture, which is nothing short of stealing of public money, it means the law enforcement agencies are failing.
Yeah.
So when you have proper law enforcement agencies in society and the prosecutorial, you know, agencies that are functioning properly, you don't have to set a commission that looks for people that
Dumi,
are stealing
money. I'm going to stop you there. Thank you very much. Dumisani Tlope there, independent political analyst, joining us in the conversation. Mariah in Rivonia, hi.
Hello, you can hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead, please, Mariah.
Hi. Just a brief comment, though, Aubrey, and very interesting discussion. But, you know, I think the solving of public opinion is not just like a gossip forum thing. You know, it's very valid because it's not only based on hearsay, but it's based on evidence that has been produced. And I'm referring now to the Zondo Commission. It's interviews and evidence, and evidence. It's not just like a simple conclusion that's been reached on sort of flimsy, sort of evidence for that, for want of a better word. And, and the other thing is that it's the people implicated that show complete arrogance, and you know, like they're above the law, and they it's.
But surely the arrogance has nothing to do with their guilt or innocence, right? I mean, I hear you that some of the people that we talk of are repugnant as people, but that shouldn't cloud our understanding of their guilt or innocence. Am I wrong?
Aubrey, I think it does in a sense. Again, I refer back to the evidence that has been produced, and where some of them have refused point blank to answer questions where if they didn't have something to hide, if they were above board, they would simply answer, you know, and give an explanation. But the fact that they refuse and consider themselves sort of, you know, treat others with disdain, that speaks volumes.
I hear that it speaks volumes, but does it speak of guilt or innocence?
Look, Aubrey, that's a very... I agree with you. Then the one does need a verdict. The fact is that one needs to look at how people feel, and it's people who put up with things, and I'm talking people, I mean the citizens of this country, and then they get hurtful, so to speak. You know,
all right, I want to stop you there. Thanks very much. I really get your point, Bruce. Very quickly, 30 seconds. I've run out of time. Hi, Bruce. Yep.
Of state capture. So it's not something we need to debate. And it was in the year 2000, the World Bank noted that in Russia, and that's where it came from. I'll quickly read it to you. And this is what it is. And you'll see it is state capture is a type of systemic political corruption in which private interests significantly influence the state's decision-making processes to their own advantage. That is exactly what happened to Clinton and other countries, but that's what it is.
Yeah, but we're talking about individuals. Do we impute guilt on the basis of our opinions and what we see, or do we need a little bit more? Bruce, I'm going to let you go because I've absolutely run out of time. I've completely run out of time. But Afix, can I please ask you just to stay with me until just after the news, and then you can close based on what has been said. 7 minutes after 11 o'clock, and my guest, Fikile Ntsikelelo-Moya, social commentator and media practitioner, has been talking to us about the issue of the presence of mind that we should perhaps keep when commenting about people that have been implicated in various spaces, whether it's a rape allegation, whether it's people that have been fingered in the Zondo Commission, whatever the case may be, that perhaps before we impugn guilt that we walk a little more circumspectly. And I'm going to allow him to finish the conversation based on what some of our listeners were saying. Brafix, I'm aware that the space in which you are at right now is a very tender space. It's a very precarious space. It's a very uncertain. It's not a solid space that we can make easy determinations, but it's one where you are asking for us to be a little more careful as to how we step. Am I correct?
Yes, you are correct. But not only am I saying that, I'm also saying that the law enforcement agency and the criminal justice system must also play its role. You know, the Hawks must expedite their investigations. The NPA must look at what is possible, and those who have cases to answer to, they must be charged, and if convicted, they must be sent to jail for a very long time, because corruption is not a victimless crime, you know. So I'm in no way suggesting that we should have pedophiles with people who are involved in malfeasance.
Yeah,
you know. But I'm saying that, you know, we need how we proceed going forward needs to be needs to be decisive, you know, and using a court of public opinion, as Maria suggested. You know, yes, it plays to our emotions, but justice is not an emotional game. Mm. You know, it has to be a lot more than how we feel about particular individuals.
Give me a sense, Brafix. I don't know how comfortable you'll be to do so, but where you believe that this principle that you're highlighting of circumspection, of treading carefully, especially when making comments about people's guilt or not guilt in certain spaces. Give me an example of what you're talking about, if you can. I know that it's a matter of principle, and perhaps one needs to be careful, because this is South Africa. The moment you say, okay, the Jacob Zuma scenario or the Agretti scenario, somebody's going to say, Ntsikelelo has been bought. So I understand exactly. why you, but is there one that you could point to?
You know, I'd rather not. Okay. Exactly for the reasons that you have mentioned, and the reason I mentioned the Gwele matter, I chose a matter that had played itself out in the public in the public discourse.
Yeah.
You know, and it had, you know, whatever one thinks, the point is that that matter is settled. You know, there's a court ruling on that matter, and that's where we are.
Yeah.
So whoever I would mention here, they will, as you correctly say, there will be a danger of me being accused of being saying what I'm saying in defense of a particular person. You know, so I'd rather not mention any name.
Prafix, thank you very much.
Anyone where there is sufficient reason for the NPA to charge must be charged. I don't really care who they are, what political party they are from, if they are, whether they're politicians, whether they're black, whether they're white, whether they're men or women, it doesn't matter. They must face they must face the world.
Figile Ntsikelelo Moya, thank you so much, my brother, for joining us. I really appreciate it. And please don't be so scarce, yeah?